But as I looked down bench after bench, as I stared into the shadows of pillar after pillar, as I examined the opposite end of the hall, where the benches had been replaced by rows of yellow coin-operated lockers, I began to feel, well, I felt a little less self-satisfied. Oh, I knew I was going to find Mr. Three pretty damn soon, in fact. I didn't doubt that. After all I was doing was the sort of busy work you might assign a newly hired apprentice to check his accuracy. Go ahead, young man. Replicate the results of this thoroughly well-replicated experiment. Take your time, sharpen your pencils, and keep your notebook neat. The best you can do is to tell us precisely what we already know. And so, when I, who in this case was both the master and the apprentice, could not find Mr. Three on the main floor, I lifted up my diligent head and ran my determined eyes around the lower balcony with its dark paneled hallway that looped like a ribbon around the ellipse. I scanned the 27 locked doors, the doors whose handles I had jiggled and twisted and shook, the doors that implied the existence of an exotic, dangerous world, quotidian perhaps and even dreary to those who worked there, but for someone like me, a place unknown, and for that night, unknowable, only a few inches beyond the reach of my eyes. There, on the other side of those locks, was a tract of undeveloped epistemic real estate on which my imagination had already erected a low-budget film noir movie set. I could picture it in monochrome detail, the camera prowling through an elliptical warren of shadowy offices linked by private communicating doors, projective geometry on the ceilings cast by the speeding headlamps of the traffic below, manila file folders bulging with scurrilous newspaper clippings and phony import-export accounts stacked everywhere on desks and credenzas, and the ingrained cigar smoke of the long-departed railway magnate still offending the lungs of the small-time insurance agent's temporary typist, who probably, before she hurried off to teach night school karate, left the outside window open to air the place out. The same hypothetical open window that would be no less the object of Mr. Three's restless desire than it had been of my own. 27 locked doors, all but one with a small transom window mounted above, the kind I dreamt as a child of climbing through. But these 26 windows glazed with wire-reinforced frosted glass, these 26 transoms installed for ventilation, intended to tilt open and allow the escape of rising hot air, had, in our modern age of air conditioning, long ago been screwed. Or painted. Permanently shut.